se open honorable Matibe as to whether all of your members are in the meeting or if there are any apologies, that those get recorded and do the same from the side of the NA if there are apologies. Honorable Chairman Matibe, do you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, yes, I'm sure you, if you can just confirm on your side. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to you, Chairperson, and members of the NA, as well as members of the Select Committee and the Minister, as well as the Department. From the side of the Select Committee, we received an apology of Honorable Lamskani. I'm sure that's the only apology that we have received so far. But currently, we have got members that are present in the meeting. It's Honorable Bibi, Honorable Ngwenya, Honorable Arnold, Honorable Mudise, as well as Honorable Smith. We'll be recording as other members are joining in. Others have been struggling to join in, and I'm sure the IT side is working that. It will confirm as and when other members are getting in.
Chairperson, I'm here. Mlindinana, connected.
Yeah, Mlindinana has also joined us.
Chairperson, as well.
Yeah.
Chairperson, Mukause is here.
Oh, okay. No, thank you very much. I'm sure we are almost 9 members from the NCOP that are present. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Matibe. I do know that there is a recorded apology of Ms. Alice Mutembu from the NA side. That's what has been forwarded to me. I think all other apologies that may be forwarded to the Secretary will just keep the meeting updated, just to make sure that we maximize the time we have. And if that's so agreed, it would appear that we do correct to proceed with the meeting. But I will also, as the Minister would do the overview, he will also indicate if there are apologies that may need to be recorded from their side. Honorable Minister Tim, usually we give a few minutes for you as the Minister to give the overview and then indicate who will do the presentation. Given time limitations we have, would really appeal that the presentation should take us to 20 minutes so that most of the time will be allocated to members to engage the presentation. And as I said, on the basis that members had had an opportunity to go through the presentation itself, so you'll talk to the presentation. Over to you, Honorable Minister, as we welcome you once again to the joint meeting.
Thank you, co-chairs, and also honorable members. We appreciate to be part of this very extraordinary meeting. I hope you can hear me, Chair.
We hear you very well, Minister. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We are presenting what, as you had requested, Chair, what we have done as part of the fight against the coronavirus pandemic that has also infested in our country. You will know, Chair, that first of all, I want to start by saying we have had a void in the leadership of the administrative arm of the department. I want to assure the committee that we have now since concluded on the interviews for a Director General for GCIS. That matter is now before Cabinet. It will be concluded in due course. That's the first issue. The second one, Chair. Yes, we are part of the war against COVID-19. As you will know, ours started even earlier, long before we had the first person infected in our country. We were working with DERCO and the Department of Health in relation to the repatriation of those of our patriots who were holed up in out to the text. I hope you can hear me, colleagues. I'm speaking to Pumla, who's saying that they are having some difficulty with the technical problems. So, but they are sorting that out. If you can just bear with us.
We'll sort it out now.
Any other issues, they can
those who want to speak on the matter. I hope members do hear.
Yes, Mukausen from the NCOP.
I'll take two members from this side, Honorable Chair. I've got Honorable Mukause
from NCOP.
I've got Honorable Mukause, I've got Honorable Zibi. I would have taken the two. You can go straight to questions, Honorable Members, and then you go to the next.
I know, Honorable Fandam, that your head is up on the NA side, but it's just to allow these other members to ask questions.
Can I just quickly raise a point of order, maybe, or just to make the whole process streamlined? And I'm actually breaking my own rule now. If one has a point of order, can we ask that the point of order be raised after the question was finished, not during the conversation or the question, because it breaks one's thoughts and strain of thought. So if can I ask, if one has a point of order, raise a point of order after the question.
Honorable Clute, we can allow Honorable Mukause to ask questions so that we don't entertain. We can waste time while we are still dealing with the point of orders. Honorable Mukause from NCOP and Honorable BB from NCOP, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Minister, in light of COVID-19 pandemic, what changes will you make to your operational plans to ensure that people right across this country are well informed? Because currently, if we do not have a television set, they actually cannot get the information from government. Should not maybe perhaps increase the volume of your communication from your department in the language which maybe that suits all communities across the country? My final point, Chairperson, which is the last one for now. One of your strategic objectives, Minister, is to transform mainstream media through allocation of advertising revenue. How have you done this so far? And what are the struggles between transforming the media and ensuring that it remains independent? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues, and also our minister present with us. My question, Chairperson, will be, what measures has the GCIS put in place during the COVID-19 national lockdown to reach its audience in predominantly rural areas where there is no Wi-Fi connected, since you cannot distribute newspaper at the moment? And question number two, Chair, will be, how is the GCIS working together with the COVID-19 National Command Council to ensure that South Africans receive a single unified message at all times? Thank you so much, Chairperson. That's my question.
Thank you, my co-chair. We are done with the two questions from our side. Yeah, you can continue.
I noted from the NA that Honorable Van Damme's end was up. Can I just take the other ends from other members in this round? I do have Honorable Van Damme who raised the hand before. Any other member from NA that wants to speak at this point?
Chairperson, I'm trying to check whether you can hear my hear me. Thank you very much. Chair, I missed quite a bit. I don't know whether you can ask.
Can you hold it there?
Thanks.
I think DJ. NPA side, I had Honorable Van Dam end up. May I just check if there are other members who want to ask questions at this point? From the NA?
Chair, Honorable Kubega.
Honorable Kubega. Any other one? If not, we'll take those two questions for now. Honorable Van Dam.
Thank you, Chair. And good morning to everyone. Minister, I just want to upfront say that thank you very much for taking up the task of also taking care of this department. I know that it is a very critical time in our country, and as ministers, you need to be leading the charge to fight against this pandemic. And communication is a very important aspect of it, because we need to be able to communicate with people about safety measures and about all the manner of things related to the pandemic. I think in terms of just purely from communication, from what I've seen, the communication, at least through media platforms, has been good. The SABC has also, as a public broadcaster, has done a really great job. They have a channel now dedicated to education. So I think on that aspect, it at least appears at face value that things are being done well. Now, in terms of communication from cabinet, so there has been heavy, heavy message inconsistency, which has caused a lot of confusion. In a crisis, communication needs to be very clear. It needs to, there shouldn't be contradictions, and there have been so much. Now, I know you can't solely be responsible for making sure that ministers stay on message, but I would like you to please take it up as a very serious issue, because the president will say one thing. Now, I'm not talking about the tobacco ban, I'm talking in general. The president will say one thing, and then there's briefings by ministers, and they say different things. The regulations will say one thing, which are, then there's ministers who wrongly interpret the regulations. As example, the ban on hot cooked food, that was not in the regulations, and then ministers make their own rules that are not linked to the regulations. So my question is, has there been communication with ministers to say, please stay on message, do not make your own announcements? Ministers can't suddenly just make rules without them being in regulations to say, I don't know, we shall henceforth ban, you know, prize at home or whatever. So ministers just make up their own things. It's not in the regulations. They cause serious confusion. So has the conversation happened? And going forward, please make sure that there's message consistency. And perhaps it's something the president needs to take charge of. And I think as a minister in the presidency, you need to convey this message that the president needs to make sure that ministers stay on message. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Van Dam, Honorable Kubega.
Thank you, Chair, and also morning, everybody. Let me join also the portfolio committee to welcome the acting minister in this department. And I would like also to thank the manner in which they are trying to work harder, because we can see that they are indeed on the ground. My question is just on the issue of fake news, Honorable Minister. I want to know, how are you dealing with the issue in order to attend that matter, because you can see that fake news run faster and make a damage on the ground. Once you try to come back, you see that already the fake news have already made a damage. How are you dealing with fake news in your department, Honorable Minister? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kubega. I think those are the questions in the first round of questions. And I'm also the department would be able to respond. You remember, Honorable Minister, I indicated that whatever was to be highlighted during the presentations, this will also be an opportunity as you answer the questions to highlight matters that may have not been highlighted before. We'll be guided by yourself, Minister, how you will be responding to the first line of questions. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Magauza has asked what are the transformative actions we have taken in the media space. I think all of us are aware that there is a big drive to ensure that our community radio sector is alive and is supported. As we speak now, even when we hold our press conferences at GCIS, at the same time that we speak, there are 65 radio stations that are connected to the same message that we are, I hope you can hear me, that we are delivering to the nation, either as ministers or even when the Minister of Health, who's obviously the lead minister on dealing with this health matter speaks, we make sure that indeed the messages are also packaged even by GCIS to reach our community media, including our community print media. So that's basically what we're doing in terms of transformation at this stage. But also, I don't know why this thing seems to be dying, but if you can hear me, I'll continue. The MDDA that is tasked with ensuring that we transform our media space is, as we speak now, has given a lot of financial injection to our community media section and also our community print media and the few community television stations that are there. So we are quite happy. Of course, we can do more if we can get more funding in this area. But with what we have, we are doing our best. There's been a question that has been asked by many colleagues. How do we reach out to communities in rural areas around COVID? Colleagues will know that we have, apart from relying on your television stations, apart from relying on your SABC radio station and your community media stations, by the way, the SABC radio stations has quite a wonderful footprint that even reaches our rural communities. So we have made use of this footprint of the SABC, of course, link that to our community media to reach out to our rural communities. We have also, as colleagues will be aware, working together with the Department of Health, we have also crafted pamphlets that we have made available to various parts of our country in languages that are spoken in the various parts of our country so that the COVID message can reach our people. There was a question about by Honorable Bibi about Command Council, a single unified message. Yes, and maybe let's first explain. We now have almost all ministers being part of a Command Council led by the President. So the chair of the Coronavirus Command Council is the President. And whatever decisions that are taken in the Command Council, those are the decisions that then either are announced by the President or are announced by the various ministers. We have seen the President from time to time announcing even the state of disaster. Of course, some of the announcements before they are made, they need to be by cabinet, such matters are elevated to a cabinet. That also means virtually to agree on what has been agreed to by the National Command Council as part of our fight against the coronavirus pandemic. Honourable Member Van Damme asked a question. There are some of us who don't seem to be staying on message. Our sisters, colleagues, under those circumstances, please touch base with us. We have not been aware of such instances. But where you come across any of us who might not be on message, please touch base with us so that we are then able to deal with whatever misinterpretations of messaging that comes from government. Ms. Honorable Kubega has asked the question whether are we able to deal with fake news. On this one, I would like to the DDG Kusela Diko, who's there, who's responsible for our broader communication, working together with the DG, to come in on what is the response to anything that is fake, and how do we deal with fake news? Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I'm bad.
Can we just get the DDG to respond to the point on the fake news first? We'll come back to you, acting DG.
Thank you.
Honourable Chair, my apology. Can I just request that everybody who speaks that they put their video on when they speak, because when we on TV, it seems that there's nobody on the screen.
My apologies, Chair. I say that I just took myself off camera. My apologies. It won't happen again.
Apology accepted, Minister. Can we now get to the DDG to respond to the fake news part?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Minister, honourable members. The DCIS, working together with the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies, has set up a command center that is responsible for the monitoring of fake news. It brings together a number of private sector companies that are working with us, including the technology platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and WhatsApp in particular. Now, what we do is that we have a proactive monitoring of fake news. As and when we receive them, they are verified with Real 411 as well as Media Monitoring Africa, which are our partners. We have implemented a manual process of stamping these as fake news and obviously seeking to get the responsible departments or other organizations to clarify as and when those issues come up. It's not yet a perfect process, Chair, and to a large extent a lot of it is manual, but we are working on strengthening our capabilities to respond to the news in the future. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, maybe just to add, on rural communities, by the way, as the GCIS, we are not working alone. We are working with provinces, but we are also working with districts and local municipalities. As you will know, Chair, there are many of our local municipalities that are also using loud hailing, with mayors going out there, with councillors going out there to massify the message that must go to our people. So I've just forgotten the part of loud hailing that is being used in various parts of our country to put a message around COVID to our communities
we have done during this period has helped us a great deal to reach even the rural communities through these core teams that we have set up, which comprises of GCIS, the provincial communicators, and the district communicators. But the one other thing that I thought I should emphasize, honorable members, all the media briefings that we do, we have been beaming them directly to the community radio station. But not only that, what we have also done, we have collaborated with PENSAL. All the inputs that the ministers give during these media briefings, we have translated them into all the 11 languages. And using the core teams, we've been able to distribute the content that has been provided by the ministers in the languages that the communities can understand. And what we've also done, through the cooperation with the provincial leadership, we've been able to secure some of the talk shows at the community radio station where they further unpack what the story is all about in fighting the coronavirus so that it is understood in their communities. The loud hailers and also the drones. Chairperson, I think what we've tried to do is to use the local leadership as the voice of that community. I think it has worked extremely well in Limpopo. The loud hailers and the drones have used the language of that particular community, that village, but also using the mayor of that particular district. I think we want to continue exploring all avenues of making sure that we reach the pamphlets that we have been distributing. We've also simplified them and put them in the language of that particular community in that area. The adverts that we, unfortunately, we thought we were going to fly to them for you to see, we've also done the adverts that are in all official languages, including the Khoisan language. We've also tried to reach that. So I thought maybe I should add that bit. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting DG. I'm sure members, you would have had responses on this round of questions. Before I hand over to my co-chair, Honorable Matibe, I'll now start again with members from the NA. As to those who still want to ask questions in this round of questions, can I note those? While they are raising members, can I also, for purposes of record, indicate that I now have a message that the Deputy Minister, Thembi Sweya, is also in the meeting. I think it's important for purposes of record. Can I now invite members from the NA who wants to speak? Any other member? Hello, is that McKinley? Is that
informative, and I see that you have used a lot of platforms to communicate this decision. know to you and your team, Minister, well done. I think many South Africans are fully aware of what is happening in our country. Each and every sector, you've been there communicating decisions. Secondly, Minister, there's an issue. I think I want to just go back to say that, of course, but the President has said that part of this process is for us to learn there will be baby steps. You know, sometimes when we communicate decisions, especially ministers, I hope that as President communicates a decision, that decision will be followed. I would make an example, like there was something, this issue of social grants for unemployed youth. That issue was raised by the President that people will receive by the department in terms of communication and processes. It was not there. We understand that we're working under pressure. This is new for us, but it's an area that we need to improve on. So we want to appreciate mostly. I think also one of the things that I've seen that we're receiving even SMSs from, like I'm using MTN, one appreciates that every day you get those. So we can see that the private sector is also playing a big role in assisting that you do achieve what you seek to achieve. And also, as you are communicating these decisions, especially with the Department of Health, how you work together, it gives one hope that indeed we would achieve and kill this pandemic. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Faku. Mackenzie, I'm on you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Can you hear me? We can hear you, Mackenzie.
Can you?
Thank you, Minister. I see here, the Minister, you and I belong to a very exclusive club, the Gunshot Survivors Club.
You're right.
Minister, let me echo the Honourable Faku's comments. I think the GCI has done an excellent job in communicating around the COVID issue. And if I could just, on behalf of my very patient wife and son, ask the President, please, if he says he's going to come on TV at 9 o'clock, come on TV at 9 o'clock. Don't keep us waiting till 11 or the next day. That reliability. Then in terms of just going through the presentation, it's very effective. I notice also, the temptation to use our party's political colours in advertising campaigns is almost irresistible because it adds to our brand value. But I noticed that in these campaigns, government has used our national colours and not ANC colours. So again, let me congratulate you on that spirit of patriotism. National.
We always use national colours.
Thank you. Then, just in terms of changing campaigns, for example, I know Tourism South Africa was running quite a strong social media campaign on Visit South Africa as the coronavirus unfolded, and I would assume there are several government departments that were involved in similar types of campaigns. Do you have an idea how many campaigns we're talking about? I presume, like Visit South Africa, you would have to postpone that campaign. Have your suppliers generally with GCIS been quite receptive to the postponement and cancelling of campaigns? I'm just thinking in terms of loss of revenue to the department. So have they been very cooperative when it comes to cancelling these things? And do you think we've lost any revenue? Then you're also, just in terms of your website edition, instructing all websites just to carry that proven, I guess you'd call it, or the website ribbon. That was another very effective thing that GCIS did, and I think that's worked well at very little cost to government, and I'd like to congratulate you on that too. I've been largely covered on community radio. I just, in fact, wanted to add that this would be a very appropriate time, especially our communities in rural areas, to use community radio effectively to reach them. And of course, at the same time, you would ensure the sustainability of these smaller radio stations that are battling financially. know, we expect the presentation of quality from GCIS to have the grammar correct. Sorry, just had to get that one in. Thank you very much, Minister. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Machoza. Thank you, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
We can hear you and we can see you too.
Okay. Let me first maybe start by appreciating the presentation that we got from the Minister, and also to say that thank you for the job well done that we have seen so far. But my concern would be one on the issue of communities, especially townships and rural areas, to at least when we change these regulations, can we at least have newsletters where people will be able to see what regulations are on the level for, what is expected of them, because at the same time we are telling them to stay at home. While they are at home, they are receiving or interpreting information in their own way. So it is much better if maybe they would receive a newsletter that would actually speak to them, and they would be able to understand it clearly of what is it that should perhaps be taking place at that present moment. Because it's not like that people are not adhering to the lockdown regulations, but I think it's a matter of interpreting what has been said by ministers when they present this. So when you do have a newsletter, at least you have all the time to sit down and actually read what is it that is expected of you as a South African. And maybe number two, to maybe get a clarity, Minister, on the post office services, that there are people who rely on letters. What on level four, it's quite not clear that postal services and courier services related to transport of medical products only, or when will it open? So I wanted to find out on those issues, that we need to be opening for people to be able to receive letters from other people, whether locally or internationally. Thank you, Chair.
As we get to Honourable Fandam, I'll still appeal that we ask in relation to the presentation with regard to GCIS. I know we still have an opportunity to engage the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies presentation next week. But I'm sure Minister would have noted that. Honourable Fandam.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it is a great opportunity for us as the communications committees in the NCOP to take this opportunity to ask Minister Mthembu, as a minister in the presidency, questions that relate to communications, because we need to communicate these back to our constituents. I call my colleague about supporting the media, and particularly print media. As we know, a number of magazines have had to shut down. Those are jobs, and we need to do as much as we can to make sure that to save jobs. So if we get an appeal to government to make sure that there's sufficient advertising in print media, I think that's very important. We need to keep that sector alive, and we need to save jobs in the media environment. Just questions related to government in general. I note that the president's spokesperson is also here. In a crisis, it is important that there is transparency. It is a crisis, people are panicked, and they need to be able to get answers from government. We need clear communication from government. People need to be reassured that government is taking the right decisions. You need to take people on board, right? You can't just make rules top down and just expect people to accept them. There needs to be a social compact with people to say, we are doing this because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We are doing that because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that hasn't happened of late. It happened in the beginning. There was clear communication. Now there isn't any of that.
Now, a couple of matters that are not clear. Who all serves on the Command Council? If we could just have a list of those people, who those people are. If we could give the full list. And then these issues related to the ban on tobacco, to the ban on e-commerce, and the ban of alcohol, which haven't been explained sufficiently. The Minister of COPTA said 2,000 people said don't uplift the ban on tobacco, therefore that's who did it. That's simply not good enough. You need to explain in detail in a crisis. You need to not actually in a crisis, in a democracy, but it's even more important right now that you take people on board, that you explain to them why you're doing what you're doing. And I've noticed that the minutes related to the tobacco ban will not be made public. That is utterly bizarre. Why not? It needs to be explained to the people of South Africa that this is how we took the decision. So why can't the minutes, the 3 minutes, these 3 sets of minutes be made public? The minutes related to the tobacco ban, alcohol ban, and e-commerce ban. Because they don't make any rational sense to the people of South Africa, and they need to be explained in detail, and those minutes need to be made available. So questions, Command Council, sorry, let me just double check, and the rationale between those 3 bans and why those minutes cannot be made public. That's it.
Thank you, Honorable Fanta. I'll now hand over to Honorable Matibe to take questions from the SOP before the department responds. Over to you, Honorable Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much. I have got an indication from our WhatsApp line for the NCOP members who have indicated they want to ask is Honorable Nana, Honorable Ngwenya, Honorable Arnold, Honorable Glute. I just want to check if there is still any other member from the NCOP who wants to ask a question.
Yes, Honorable Mudise.
Honorable Mudise and then Honorable Mukause, yeah, in that order. Honorable Nana.
Thanks, Chairperson. The first one, Chair, is to GCIS and of course the Minister. I would want to check if GCIS has taken note of the adverse impact the pandemic will have on service delivery, especially projects that were due to be implemented this financial year, but of course couldn't obtain because of the pandemic. How will GCIS and government ensure that post COVID-19 service delivery is better? That is the first question, Chair. And the second one, which is rather a bit controversial. Chairperson, I have noted that other presidents of other countries are directly communicating with their people on a daily basis. Others, they skip one day. If it's not the president, it's the prime minister. In our case, Chair, today is the 15th day since we've heard from number one, and I'm not taking the work of the National Command Council any lightly, but my point is, Chair, it's been 15 years since it's been 15 days since we've heard from the president. Now, Minister Mthembu, what is your message to people like myself who would want to hear and see the president quite often on communicating with the nation during this difficult period? And the last issue, Chair, is directed to GCIS. I have noted since Pumla's comment to say that they are working with provincial leadership and local leadership in provinces in ensuring that GCI messaging gets transmitted and then gets through to our communities. But as you will know, and I like to emphasize this, in the NCOP, and we tend to be provincial bias, and I just can't help myself. I'm from the Eastern Cape. We have a problem in the Eastern Cape where the provincial government hardly communicates. And I would want to check with GCIS and the minister, what is your relationship with provincial governments in so far as provincial government communications? And do you guys have a plan to beef up communication of provincial government? Because as I say, in the Eastern Cape, it's virtually non-existent. We're lucky if we get the premier in 2 weeks. Thanks, Jefferson.
Honorable Ngwenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. And also thank you to the Chairperson of the NC, and greetings to all members of the Parliament and to our Minister, Jackson Mthembu, with the good work that we have done. Chairperson, I've got a few questions. My first question, Chair, is based on GCIS presentation. Silence. Partnership with public representatives are all in their representative constituency during this lockdown. What is the plan in place from GCIS to partner or empower public reps with information to empower their representative constituency which actual COVID-19 information like a pamphlets. Chair, my second question is on the presentation regarding the amalgamation of the department. On slide 24 of the presentation forwarded to us, you are reporting that there are 30 vacant posts. The question is, when is the department intending to fill all these vacancies? Linking to vacancies, slide 22 indicates that 8 employees could not be matched. What will happen to them when the GT process does not favor them? Will they be reskilled in careers that do not like, or will they be given option to move? Chairperson, I want to ask again that is it communication strategy in line with the communication policy of government? The presentation is silence on the policy. Does the COVID-19 communication strategy cater for all official language as per Section 6 of the Constitution of Republic and use of the Official Language Act? The people with disability who use Braille sign language and OD formats are the cater or in the communication strategy? If no, why? Chair, what is the budget allocated for the government communication strategy on COVID-19? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Arnold.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning also to the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and then also all the members of Parliament, and then also the officials. Minister, yes, thank you. I think we are all together in the fight, fighting the pandemic, COVID-19, but in winning the fight, We need to pull together, and in terms of communication, we need to communicate effectively in terms of our mandate. But let me just raise one of the issues, and I think you also, some one member also raised the issue now. You can recall, especially the Western Cape government here, in terms of intergovernment relations, communication system and everything like that. You can recall that Western Cape government previously made announcements on their own in terms of cigarettes, the sale of cigarettes. My question to you is now, in terms of interventions, did you meet with the Western Cape government in terms of their pronouncement, and it's only national that time that pronounced regulations and everything like that? I think that is now sending out messages that is very contradictory and not in line with what the messaging should be previously by the Western Cape government. Did you meet with the government? Did you engage with them? And what was the outcome of that engagement, if there was an engagement? Then the other matter that I want to raise now is, especially during this crisis time, in terms of the capacity of GCIS, and I think that is a very important one, because it can't be a business as usual. You have mentioned now that there is a process now in terms of the appointment of the Director General. But can you please give us an indication when that will happen? Because if we don't have people with the right skills in the right places, then I don't think we will ever be able to do our communication effectively. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Glute.
Thank you, Jefferson. Thank you, Minister, and all the other participants in this session today. I heard the word pamphlets earlier, and I asked this question the Free State Provincial Legislature when the Honourable Minister was in the Free State, because he stated that a lot of, thousands of pamphlets were being printed to be distributed. On that issue, I would just like to refer to an article in Forbes magazine which stated the following. We know that the spread of the coronavirus occurs when an infected person emits small droplets from their nose. We all know that. Now, there's also a study that shows that the virus could potentially live on surfaces for up to a few days, potentially up to a week of plastic. Now, this is according to a report. My question regarding the whole issue of pamphlets is, are we not busy with a Trojan horse here? Because it only takes one person to off on 500 or 1,000 pamphlets that are being distributed. Did the department or the cabinet actually think about this? And how? What measures are they putting in place to ensure that the pamphlets are being distributed are not infected? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mutise.
Yeah.
own languages. I just keep planning to phase Vuvuzenzela newsletter out. Do you have any challenges relating to the reproduction of your newsletter? Because previously we had a lot of them in GCIS offices, but currently you can't find any, especially in rural provinces. And then also relating to that, Minister, have government actually conducted any impact assessment across the board with regards to the impact that these newsletters are making in communities? Lastly, Chairperson, it looks like the ruling party has taken advantage of the COVID-19 pandemic in South Africa. We are seeing a lot of contesting and, you know, competition relating to food parcels throughout the provinces, particularly in the Northern Cape. The president has actually said in his speech that politicians must not be seen distributing food parcels. But it looks like that message has been disregarded. We're currently having incidents, a lot of incidents throughout the country, and in particular the Northern Cape province. Is this message that you are communicating to your own people, because these are the people that constitute the teams that are in provinces, the excellent closes everybody out and they populate the teams themselves, so that this shenanigans keeps on continuing? We cannot, as opposition parties, be policing such things, whilst your own president says no politician should be seen doing 1-2. Is this in a way disregarding what you are communicating, or what the country's president instructs all of us to do? We made that call as the TFF that this to be taken to the level where people are making it their own campaign ahead of local government. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think those are the persons from the members of the Select Committee. I don't know, Co-Chair, we can hand over to the Minister and the team to respond. Thank you very much.
Yes, Minister.
Able to take some, I don't know where the minister is on. Chairperson, please, can you guide me? Should I come in?
Will the minister respond?
I can also assist in case the DG will answer others, and then if maybe there are others which she might not respond to, I'm also available while we look for the minister ideally to give a report.
Thank you very much. I think the DG can start to answer if there are other questions that will require DM as well as the minister to respond to you with. Acting DG, can you start?
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to respond to some of the questions, and then I'll leave some for the minister and the DM. I think the first one that was asked about the adverse impact to service delivery, I would imagine, Chairperson, that the situation will differ from department to department. And in our case, indeed, we had an annual performance plan, and we have been able to say to the honourable members that we have had to adjust some of our focus area, because our annual performance plan, one of the areas that we were going to focus on this year was around the 7 priorities, but importantly on the issue of anti-corruption and also the GBV. Yes, it has taken a backseat, but I think it is our intention but we will be facing some of the critical areas that we want to interact with community as we continue with the year. So yes, there will be some delays, but they will differ from department to department. Then the other issue that was asked around the distribution of pamphlets, we'd like to also confirm to honorable members what we have done is that we didn't just distribute and hope that it will reach the people. We went physically to houses and we used what we call knock and drop, and we were just delivering it in houses and then putting them in the post boxes. So that we can see that it did reach some of the audiences that we were targeting in those vicinities. There was another question that was asked about Vuvuzenzele. Honorable members, this is one of our flagship programs in talking to communities. It comes out in both English and the other language that is predominant in that particular area. We have done a research. We know for a fact that it remains the most popular publication that we send out to people, and it is free, because we have seen the research after research that we have done is that communities look forward to it. That is why we have even increased it. Initially, honorable members will remember, it used to come out once in 2 months, and the research told us that it remains popular. We then made it to come out once a month. Currently, it's coming out twice a month, and it remains a very popular publication, and the content thereof to date is around the COVID-19, which we send out to communities, and there is no plan of removing it as a medium that we send out to people. What we had scaled down on, and I think the in terms of the languages that we use, it does come out in all the languages except for the Braille. But in the early stages, we used to produce it in also Braille, but I think with the budget cut and also the fact that it is with the quantities that we were producing were in line with what the blind community was advising us. In terms of the budget, I think we do not want to mislead the honorable members to say that we have enough budget. As we speak, the products that we are sharing with yourselves and what we have done to date remains unfunded. We have made a request to the National Treasury that this war can only be won by us investing in informing society what to expect, the behavioral change. One of the issues that we have been told time and time again, that South Africa will never be the same again. And therefore, we do need a consistent information sharing with South Africans to ensure the behavior change. And that still awaits National Treasury to fund it, because I don't think we can win with the manner in which we have been operating, because as it is now, we do not have that budget. The distribution of Vuvuzenzele, before I also miss, the reason also is we are able to track it. We have a company that also ensures the knock and drop. It gets audited. We monitor whether they do what we are paying them to do in distributing it. And we have a distribution plan, so we know that it is distributed and it is received by the relevant people. I think I've covered the ones that I am able to cover. I think the Deputy Minister can assist if ever I've missed some of the questions, or the Minister if he's back.
Chairperson, can I speak?
Yeah, Deputy Minister, yeah, you can speak.
Okay. Thank you. Let me start by saying, taking in light from what the Minister has said, one is that we find ourselves in a pandemic which we had not necessarily prepared ourselves for. And when we were planning our long and short-term programs,
I'm sorry, Chair. Can the Deputy Minister please put debate with
language and so on. But also what is more important for us, which we like, is this one of the physical monitoring, which GCIS does, of actually also going. So it's compensating on what is already existing. Post office also is doing something along those lines, and they have communicated with us to say, this is what we also want to do to assist in keeping the curve and how do we reduce. And so there's some form of collaboration between the two departments, even with social development, to ensure that we assist in reducing the curve. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Minister, can I come in?
Okay. My apologies. I don't know what happened.
Are you on the line?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
We can hear you, Minister. You can continue. Oh, okay. I wouldn't know what my colleagues have covered, but I will just start with Mafago. Thank you very much for the compliments. We are working with all role players, including colleagues you will know.
Yes.
That the president also did consultations with all political parties on indicating what are the responses that we are going to engage in as a country. And I know that I was also part of those meetings where the president indicated that if things do not improve, we might have to take drastic steps like lockdowns. And I can assure you, colleagues, that political parties in particularly represented in parliament and also various stakeholders, including our churches, also agreed that government must do everything that it can to save lives. So colleagues must understand that all the response that government has taken to deal with this issue of COVID-19 is meant to save lives and also to deal with the impact of the lockdown, particularly on people that are vulnerable. That's why the increase on various social grants and also the 350 that has been crafted as a new social grant for those who are unemployed. At the moment, we will be speaking to the National Coronavirus Command Council this coming Sunday. We will be speaking to the social development team who will tell us how are they going to, first of all, craft a criteria for those who can access the 350 grants for the unemployed, but also how are they distributing the other matters that should be distributed to those that need it, particularly food. I agree with colleagues that indeed we can do better. I fully agree. That's why the coronavirus command team has asked that all those that are tasked with the distribution of food and also with the distribution of the new grant for the unemployed, and of course with the distribution of the additional amounts that has been put on the current grant, must come to the Coronavirus Command Council and explain to us how are they doing these things. Certain pictures we have seen are not encouraging. Now, I agree with McKinsey that we will do everything we can, McKinsey, that when the president says that he will be speaking to us at 8, that he speaks to us at 8. At times, you know, the people who ask this is the president, because before the president speaks, he must have everything ready. In most instances, why the president is late is because of us who are giving the support to the president. And again, I take the full blame, because I must get everybody to have given all the support that they need to give, but in terms that support that they need to give, including matters that need to come to the statement, including figures, they come a little bit late. That makes the president then to come late to address the nation in terms 10 minutes or 15 minutes late. But again, our apologies. We'd like to apologize to South Africans on behalf of the president and the presidency. And I assure South Africans that it will not happen again. Colleagues have asked, have we lost revenue as a consequence of tourists not coming? It's not only us, definitely we have lost revenue. When you don't have tourists coming in, when people can't fly, when people can't drive from the neighboring countries to your country for the purpose of visiting our tourist attractions, definitely we do lose revenue, but I would not have the actual figures at this point in time. All I know is that we have lost revenue because people are not coming to our country to visit. Yes, we have zero-rated many websites where information, where people can get information about coronavirus, including the government website, including the coronavirus website. We will do proper editing next time, Mackenzie, so that when we bring any document before you, we would have edited. Honorable Majosi, you are saying that perhaps we must also come up with newsletters. We do have a newsletter. I hope that Acting DG Kumla Williams has spoken to the Vuvuzela newsletter. Maybe what we might need to do is to increase the numbers that we produce through this Vuvuzela newsletter, particularly during this time. Increase the numbers, but of course for us to increase the numbers, we need to get the money. So we'll have to speak first to the treasury, get the money so that we can have more of our Vuvuzela newsletters going to all our areas, including our rural areas and townships. But I beg to disagree with Mama Josie. Mama Josie, those people who do not adhere to the lockdown, it is quite clear the Human Science Research Council says that through government communication, we have had a reach of more than 90%. But even those people that have been reached through community radio, through SABC radio, through television, through pamphlets, they are the ones that are not staying at home. They are the ones that are not listening to the message. We therefore have said to Stats SA, to the Statistician General, can you get us to the reasons why people will not stay at home when in fact they are requested to stay at home? We need to just get to the, it's a behavioral matter. That's what our colleagues in health are saying, that we need a change in behavior. We cannot win this war through forced behavioral actions. So there will be times when we must find requisite means of changing behavior of people. And in this instance, we'll have to work together with Parliament, with yourselves. We'll have to work together with our traditional leadership. We'll have to work together with our churches. We'll have to work together with community leaders in NGOs, NPOs, and CBOs, so that all of us are in the war against this COVID. Of course, when I say we'll have to work with you in Parliament, we mean parties that are represented in Parliament and parties, political parties that are outside of Parliament, in order for us to win this war against COVID-19. Of course, the post office is at level 4 now. the time when we had level 5, the post office could only be open for essential services, including medicine and anything that needed to go to our hospitals and clinics. At this point in time, at level 4, the post office and the post bank is open. You can go there now. What is it? It's Friday. You can go to any post office now. We can receive whatever that is being sent. And also, you can go to a post bank to deposit whatever money is that you want to go there. And I remember Van Damme, again, let's appreciate the support. We will continue to do advertising to assist print media. Print media is going down. We will continue to do what you said we must do. Of course, within the financial strength that we can command. Particularly print media in the community media space. We will continue to do so. Now, you say you are not clear who are the people who serve in the National Coronavirus Command Team. We have about 20 ministers there, but even the whole of cabinet, when a matter affects a particular department, I can say that just translate cabinet to be the National Coronavirus Command Council, because also the leader is the same leader, is President Ramaphosa, and of course the deputy president also sits there. Why is the actual people who were appointed, because this is an appointed structure by the president, why the actual number is 20, you will know that in cabinet we are 28. Even members who are not necessarily members of the Coronavirus Command Council, who are serving in cabinet, when they come to the Coronavirus Command Council, nobody says that you cannot attend. So I can safely say that cabinet has then transformed itself into the Coronavirus Command Council led by the president. You are questioning the ban on tobacco, on alcohol, etc. You know, the reality is that this is a disease that attacks our respiratory organs. Now, if you are to allow certain products that are also not good for this respiratory organs to be available for trade, you will not be doing justice to the campaign against coronavirus. But again, we know that there are certain parties that have made this political. We are not political yet. But again, we are not being moralist. We are saying because of health reasons, it is not opportune at this stage. Again, we are saying South Africa, by the way, does sell cigarettes under normal circumstances. We are not in normal circumstances now. We are under an emergency and a health emergency. A health emergency that says we should not come into contact with one another. I can assure you, Honorable Van Damme, I used to drink. And you can't drink alone. Even when you drink alone in your house, the drinking will say, please go out and get somebody else to drink with. Those are drinks. It's hard. Now, if you allow drinking in public places, if you allow drinking in restaurants, what are you saying about contact between people that will lead to infection? I don't think that would be acting like a responsible government if we were to allow liquor outlets to be open and allow people to go and drink wherever. By the way, nothing says that if you have got your own stash of liquor in your house, nobody says that you can't drink in your house. The difficulty is when you have taken those particular ingredients that you get to the street. That's when you then come across somebody called negated. Then you'll say, what are you doing? Because all of us are expected to stay at home. But now, when you have taken some few shots, even these messages disappear in your head. You go out to friends, which is not helpful. Nana, yes, there are many projects, not only in GCIS, but in government, that will be delayed because all of us are now focusing on coronavirus. All of us are in this fight, a fight to save lives. When we are done, that speaks to another area of work that I'm charged with, the MTSF. When we are done with fighting this emergency, we then have to come back and say, we have 7 priorities. We have crafted these MTSF indicators and outputs. Are they still relevant? That's what we'll have to do, and we'll have to come back to your colleagues in Parliament and say, we have spent the whole of the first quarter of 2020-2021, probably the second quarter, the third quarter, fighting COVID. We have not done anything that we had planned to do as government, because an emergency just cropped up. Now, here is a new MTSF plan that we are putting before you. We are likely to do that, led by the President. We are likely to put a new MTSF plan, a plan that will guide the work of government after COVID-19. And I can assure you, it will be a different environment. How do we deal with that environment? And what priorities will arise after the COVID war? Somebody says that, again, it's Nana who says that the President has not spoken to us for 15 days. The President speaks to us when it is necessary. The President has spoken to us when he spoke to us about colleagues that were coming from Wuhan. The President spoke to us when he introduced the disaster, the state, or the state of disaster in the country. The President spoke to us when he introduced the first lockdown. The President spoke to us when he introduced the fourth level of the lockdown. And I can assure you that the President will speak to us when it is absolutely necessary. The President, after the President has spoken, this is a routine that we follow. After the President has spoken, ministers come in with regulations to implement the directive that comes from the President. And we all know that Minister Botswana Dlamini Zuma, together with the team that she's working with, has put in place regulations that are guiding us now at level 4 of the lockdown. And she has spoken to those matters. When we are supposed to go to level 3, I can assure you that when circumstances arrive for us to go to level 3, I can assure you, Honorable Nana, that the President will speak. And the President will also appraise South Africans. How have we done at level 4? And why are we going to level 3? So don't worry. The President will speak to you at an appropriate time. So, there are other countries, by the way, where their presidents are on television and radio almost every day. We are not those countries. We are a country that where the President speaks, gives broad guidelines, and ministers come in with regulations, and other ministers then come in flowing from those regulations with directions as it pertains to their various area of work. You will know that I've also come in with directions as it pertains to our area of work. Problems in the Eastern Cape, you know, to the best of my knowledge, we are doing very well with the Eastern Cape. To the best of our knowledge, I've seen the Premier even out hailing in the Eastern Cape. We are in touch with all provinces, including the province of the Eastern Cape, in this war against COVID. But of course, if colleagues think that we can do better, and this is what I always say, we can always benefit from by desires of constituencies. And I think probably Ms. Williams would have spoken to this issue. The pamphlets that we produce and the pamphlets, Focus and Zela, including our newsletter, including the pamphlets that are produced by the Department of Health on COVID, these pamphlets go to all constituency offices. We might have had a difficulty where the post office was not working optimally. Probably that's why these pamphlets might not have reached all areas that they could have reached under level 5. But under level 4, we want to assure colleagues that these pamphlets will reach every place. Ms. Ngwenya, we will answer your question when on 30 vacancies and the other issues that relate to vacancies, because I don't think that they speak to GCIS, but they speak to the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies. We will speak to those when we come to it. I hope that Ma'am Pumla Williams did speak to the budget. Arnold, you say that the Western Cape, yes, made a pronouncement around the issue of cigarettes and tobacco. Yes, we did communicate with the Western Cape. They also agreed that they should not have done what they did, because we are all that. We are one country. We don't have one country with many countries inside it. We are only one country. So the Western Cape appreciated that we are one country, and that if we come with any directive or regulations, those regulations apply in all provinces. So yes, we did speak to the Premier of the Western Cape through our president, and that omission was corrected. We are all now not selling cigarettes. No part of our country is selling cigarettes, including the Western Cape. Appointment of GCIS is just waiting for cabinet, because all appointments of DGs, yes, we can do all the interviews. Like I've said, we have done the interviews, we have concluded the interviews, we have recommendations that are now sitting to be finalized by the cabinet. Included, the guarding of pamphlets. Quite an important point. Again, this is telling us that as we send pamphlets to the various parts of our country, what are the measures that we put in place to safeguard our people against being infected by the pamphlets that we send? Again, to be honest with you, it's an area that I will go and investigate and see whether the measures we have put in place as we roll out pamphlets, as we craft pamphlets, and as we send them away, that all those measures are in keeping with the safeguards against the COVID-19. Mokause, yes, Vuk'uzenzele, we will increase the volumes. You know, there are certain people, not only in the governing party, but just some individuals who, at a time when we need to work together, and therefore those that are most vulnerable, other people think that it's an opportunity for them to make some richness and to collect some food for their friends and to collect some food for their families or for whoever or for themselves. Food meant for those who are most vulnerable. You know that as a party, all those that have been involved in this are being disciplined as we speak. Now, it's material which province they are in, whether they are councillors or just ordinary members. But I want to thank the province of Gauteng that has made a clear determination and decision that no councillors will be involved in the distribution of food. I think it's a good approach by that province, and I think many provinces can learn from that province, so that food is distributed by those that should distribute to people that are hungry. I know that the Department of Social Development, working together with our provincial departments, and working together with NGOs and CBOs has done wonderful work in this area. So perhaps we should allow those that are able to do this work to do this work without interfering as politicians at whatever level, whether it's national, provincial, or local level. Chair, I think I've tried to respond as much as I can to many of the questions. Safe to say, colleagues, we have 161 South Africans who have passed on as a consequence of this disease. We have over 8,000 South Africans who are infected as of yesterday. All that I'm requesting from our colleagues, can we hold our hands and work together? Because we are told that we have not even reached a peak in the infections. We are told by the Department of Health and also those that are experts on these matters of COVID and other related pandemics, that we are likely to reach a peak by September. Therefore, we will be together. We will be reporting to you on a regular basis on what is it that we're communicating. How are we communicating? Where we go wrong, please advise us. But at the same time, we would like you to join hands with us as government as we fight this pandemic, particularly as you are our colleagues in Parliament. Use your constituency offices, even use your own political parties in assisting South Africa to fight this war. You know, there are other countries that have had thousands and thousands of people who have died. America is one of those, Italy is one of those, Spain is one of those. We would not like to reach those thousands and thousands of numbers. Can we work together? That's all that we are requesting. But on communication as well, apart from us communicating what the whole of government is doing in response to COVID and also our president leading in this communication, on health containment and health measures that are being taken, we have had our Minister of Health, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, speaking almost every day, telling us how many people are infected, how many people have been screened, how many people have been tested, but of course, how many people have lost their lives in this war. So join us. We will be there to work with you. We will come to you any minute you want us to account to you. How are we dealing with these matters of COVID-19 and communications around COVID-19? Yes, we can benefit from your wisdom. Where you think we are running short, we will step up.
Chairperson, and we want to thank the members for the cooperation that we received as co-chairs, and we hope further engagements of the joint meeting will move in this direction. We also want to thank the department for the response that we, members received as they asked questions. Thank you very much, co-chair.
All right, thank you. The meeting stays adjourned. I think we've completed the business for the day. Thank you once again. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
The post office is open. The CEO says the post office is closed. The post office is open for business.
Which one?
Honorable McKenzie, you can take that matter with the minister even outside of us, because we still can still communicate.
All the minister.
Yeah.